Jesus' name, we thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. We receive it all. Somebody say, I receive it all in Jesus' name. And Lord, while we're praying, I also want to pray for our President, Mr. Trump, today, Vice President, Mr. Pence, our Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the Supreme Court, and Mr. Roberts, Lord, the governors of Washington, Oregon, Kate Brown, and Mr. Inslee. And we just cover this nation, Lord, with prayer. We cover this nation with the blood of Jesus. We declare that Jesus is Lord over the USA. Everybody say that. Jesus is Lord over the USA today. In Jesus' mighty name, God, give them wisdom and health and wholeness, and let them feel the strength of our prayers. And Lord, let them all, Lord God, give respect and honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in every decision that they make, Lord. I pray, God, that your people, Lord, in any area of ministry, in any area of leadership, politically, business, and otherwise, that we would be people that do not separate our faith from our jobs. In Jesus' name, that we'll be people of God first, and then whatever it is you've called us to do. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say amen. I was on a job the other day and talking with a guy in the maintenance department at this apartment complex. And I don't remember what we were talking about exactly, but it came to, you know what? The nation would be in a lot better shape if people would make decisions based on what's best for kids. You know, not what's best for their special interests or whatever. But think about the future, the children of the nation, right? And so in weeks to come, we're going to, you know, continue to on this message here for a couple more weeks on the redeemed life is. But I'm going to spend, as far as I know, 2 Sundays on Israel toward the end of this month. How many of you know, as Israel goes, so goes the world? Is that Bible? Right? So is it important that your nation and your leaders support the nation of Israel, not those who want to destroy Israel, right? Amen? And as voters, somebody say, thank God we can vote, right, in this nation. We have to be people that vote Israel. Amen? And in October, there are 2 fall festivals. One is Rosh Hashanah. Look on your calendar. You'll see it. Somebody say Rosh Hashanah and then Yom Kippur, right? And for years and years and years and years, that meant nothing to me. It was like, what is that? Rosh Hashanah? Sounds like Gesundheit, right? But these holidays, we're going to spend a couple Sundays on them and how they apply to the church today. They're Israel holidays, Jewish feast holidays that have been there for thousands of years, you know. And so God's going to show us some things in regards to that. And then I think we'll spend a couple Sundays on faith for our nation and going over some of the key things that why we do what we do. Amen. You know, there's a lot of hot topics out there in politically and so forth. And even the church can be deceived by stuff. Well, if you're walking in love, you ought to just fill in the blank. No, if you're walking in love, you're walking in love. Love for God first. Somebody say love for God first. And then people. Amen? But people walking in love doesn't just mean we embrace every philosophy there is. Amen? Walking in love for the Lord means we put Him first, and we pray for people, and we encourage people, and we point people to Jesus. Amen? The church, we're not going to close the doors of the church to the world, otherwise we'd all be excommunicated. Amen? None of us would be welcome, right? But we embrace the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the love of God, and that's what's going to do the work. Didn't Jesus say that? It's the Father within me. He does the work. So it's not the pastor of the church. It's not the congregation. We're all working with him, but it's really the power of God doing the work in people's lives. And I can testify, anybody else can testify, that God is doing something in your life. I'm not the same guy I was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago. Amen. We're growing from faith to faith and glory to glory. Amen. So, but as far as this message, I want to spend a couple more Sundays on the redeemed life is. And our foundation text, if you want to turn to something, you can just turn to Deuteronomy 28, because we're going to spend some time there today. But in your notes, Psalm 107:2, this is our foundation text for our church. And it says this: "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now, somebody say, "He has redeemed me," right? He has redeemed me. This is one of the basic things that separates Christianity, faith in Jesus, from all other faiths. Because other faiths show you how to save yourself. And it's heady and it's intellectual, and there's pride wrapped up in it. You need to go fix yourself. You need to climb the mountain. You need to spin the beads. You need to do enough good deeds. You need to knock on enough doors. Some of them will even acknowledge Jesus and the death of Jesus. I don't know so much about the resurrection, right? But even if they do, they'll say, "Yes, yes, yes, but you also need to do this in order to be saved." And it's usually about building their group, right? Following men and what men tell you. Well, praise God, we all have men to follow and women to follow, but we follow Jesus first. Amen? And this verse sets it straight right here. He has redeemed you. There was no other way. You couldn't spin enough beads. You couldn't climb enough mountains. You couldn't do enough good deeds. There wasn't a shovel big enough or a rope long enough for me to pull myself out of the sin. Amen? Only him. Somebody say, only him. Only Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no hope for humanity. And even in our nation, and the issues that we hear about 24/7 almost now with our country, we are still living in a blessed nation. If you don't believe that, try moving to Iran or North Korea or China or India, where Jesus is not publicly proclaimed as Lord of that nation from the leadership, right? They're dealing with stuff we've never even dreamed of in this nation, right? Not because God is mad at them, but because there's an issue with who is Lord from the leadership, right? And so we pray for those people. We send missionaries. We preach the gospel, you know, and somebody say, Jesus is moving, right? He is doing stuff. We hear testimonies of Jesus appearing to people, like Muslim extremists, people messing with ISIS, and Jesus appearing to them. Have you ever heard a story like that in the Bible? Somebody say, the Apostle Paul, right? Right? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Right? And Saul, who became Paul, had a decision to make at that moment, didn't he? Right? Either I'm going to change or my life is over, apparently. And he chose wisely, didn't he? Who are you, Lord? That was one of the shortest salvation prayers ever recorded, right? Who are you, Lord? Amen. So when we pray, we don't get into hating people. And we know, as the church, we know who the enemy is. So we take authority over the devil, and we get into interceding and prayer, and we watch God move on people's behalf. Amen. This last most recent shooting that I heard about in the week ago or whatever, man, I asked the Lord about that, you know, and immediately it came to me, Steve, I'm on this. This assurance. Because, you know, when you hear about something like that, it just brings dread and fear and terror and like everything's out of control. He's like, son, I'm on it. The people are praying. I'm listening. The angels are involved. We are on this. We are on this. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Amen. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody say, I'm redeemed. Right? And the ISV says it this way: let those who have been redeemed by the Lord declare it. Those whom he redeemed from the power of the enemy. Amen. or the NLT says it this way, has the Lord redeemed you? Somebody say, yes. Let me ask it to you this way. Has the Lord redeemed you?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Praise God. Amen. And then Colossians 1, 12 and 13 says this, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise God. Somebody say, I've been translated. I've been delivered and I've been translated. So what that tells you is you're different than the rest of the world. What's the difference? I've been delivered and I've been translated. Amen. And that's one thing that we'll talk about when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, is there's a day of translation coming. I mean, we've been translated, we're being changed, but man, there's a day when the trumpet is going to sound from heaven and we're out of here instantly, translated from the natural, from the earth, bang, into heaven in a twinkling of an eye, just gone. And the world can have this world for a few years. And the devil can have his heyday for a few years. And we're having a party in heaven for 7 years, celebrating, and the marriage supper of the Lamb, award ceremonies, right? Partying, a 7-year feast, and the calories won't stick. Hallelujah, right? A 7-year reunion from people that know you that you didn't know you knew. Amen. Right? I want to ride horses with John Wayne. I want to sing with Elvis. I want to play baseball with whoever some of those guys that have passed on from the old days that are in the Hall of Fame, right? Well, how do you know those guys? I heard him say a cuss word in that movie. Well, guess what? He loved Jesus. Are you telling me the Duke isn't in heaven? Oh, come on now. When we come back at the end of the 7 years, I request a horse next to the Duke. I want to ride side saddle with him and let's go kick the devil off this planet. Amen. Oh man. Cameras rolling. Praise the Lord. That day's coming. Praise the Lord. But we don't have to wait to celebrate, right? Because there is a deliverance and a translation that's happening now. In you. Translated, well, that's what we're talking about today. Translated from what and to what? Well, that's what we're talking about today. That's what the redeemed life is. The redeemed life isn't just for heaven, it's also for right here and now. Right here and now. Somebody say, right here, right now. Right now. Like Shelley used the word, immediately. This is effective immediately. I was watching an old A-Team episode yesterday, or the day before. I don't remember. We have some A-Team episodes. We've been going through them, and there's some good ones. And one of them, he's like, you have 9 seconds to make your decision, and this is going to happen. Amen? Well, it's even faster than that, right? This is if your salvation, church, is effective now, and it can be retroactive to everything your grandparents didn't get. Because they didn't know. They're in heaven now. Praise God. But everything that was theirs and they didn't receive passes on to you. Amen. So take it. Take it. Take it all. Somebody say, I'm taking it all. I am taking it all. Praise the Lord. Now, today we want to talk about the redeemed life is, and in the past couple have been the forgiven life we talked about. Somebody say, I forgive, and I receive my forgiveness. And then we talked about the redeemed life is the full life. You can be full of the Holy Ghost and power, the fire of God. And you know, I felt like I just wanted to stay on that one for about 3 or 4 more Sundays. But I feel the Lord said, no, no, let's move it on. Move it on. Okay. We could always come back another time. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of Sundays. Amen. But somebody say, I am forgiven and I'm full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of the fire of God. Amen. Well, today we want to talk about the redeemed life is the free life. Somebody say, the redeemed life is the free life. And say this, Jesus sets me free from the curse. Amen. And Galatians 3:13 says it this way, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Did Jesus hang on the tree? Amen. Now, a lot of people were executed that way. Awful, awful execution. But this one was different. This one was unique. Well, for one thing, he was an innocent man. There might have been other innocent men that were killed this way. But this man right here was God the Son, right? This man right here, this was planned, right? Before the foundations of the earth, this was planned. Amen? This was going to fix the sin problem once and for all. Fix the separation between God and his people once and for all. Somebody say once and for all. Jesus didn't have to die every 7 years or every millennium. Somebody say once and for all. He did this. And this was retroactive. There's scriptures that talk about when he died and he went into the grave, that he went and preached in Sheol, right? And people that died in the flood, the Noah's flood. Remember the Noah's Ark story, right? This is a true story. He went into that place and he said, here I am. Who wants to come out? Can you imagine somebody saying, nah, I like it here. No, no, no. They followed. He said, he led captivity captive, man. Retroactive. And to the present, right? Hundreds of people saw him and others. It said other saints that had passed away came up with him out of and they're walking around through the town. I heard Charles Capps teach this once and it got me thinking. He said, can you imagine that maybe sometime when the rapture's about to happen, all of a sudden grandpa shows up at your house. Son, it's almost time, get ready, and he's gone. Right? If all these saints just all of a sudden are wandering the earth and visiting their families and just giving people one more shot. Wow. Amen. Right? And then he led captivity captive, but guess what? It didn't stop there either. It went on and into where you are now and beyond where we are today. Somebody say once and for all. Once and for all. And he broke the power of the curse of sin that's on this world. Right? Have you seen it lately? I saw it this morning in my front yard. Weeds. Weeds are part of the curse. Dying trees, right? We get all excited. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's fall. Fall means stuff is dying. Now, I enjoy it. I like the smell. I used to go, oh, the smell in the air. The smell is because the forest is burning. All right? This is the curse. So we ought not get too comfortable around the curse. One day I was walking into the store, and it's like 90 degrees out. Oh, Lord, thank you. It's so nice. He goes, son, this is too hot. This is part of the curse. You're right, Dad. You're right. This is really hot. But I like it better than the rain a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But this earth is dying. It is going to die. And God has to come back and fix it. This is not shocking news. This happened in the garden. When sin came into the world, the curse happened. The whole flood thing. The whole flood, guys, was not a rainstorm for 40 days and 40 nights. All you all who've lived in the Northwest for any time know it could easily rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Easy. I mean, that's a passing shower around here, you know? No, no, no. I saw a scientist once on Brother Copeland's broadcast, and he was talking about how literally the atmosphere broke open that was over this planet, and the underneath the ocean busted open, and water was coming from underneath and above. Flooded the entire planet. 25 feet above the highest mountain peak. Hallelujah. I mean, that's what happened. And from then, if you read your Bible, you'll see lifespans began to get shorter, right? Noah was like 600, okay? This is not fiction. People lived hundreds of years. But God said man's days will be 120 years. Now to us, that sounds like good news. Yeah. To them, it was like, what? Right? And you could see it, 600, 425, 302, and it just kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, right? That's because the curse of sin caused this death to happen on this planet. Well, guess what? You and me have been delivered out of it and translated out of it different. Amen? We're on our way to a better place, but we're going to come back and help fix this one. Amen. You know what just boggles my mind? Is I've always thought when we come back to this place, everyone's just going to be, hey, here they come. Well, thank you. No, that's not true. It says nations will mourn at the sight of him. Not everybody, but there's going to be people that, no, and they'll come to fight him. How dumb is that? Just ask the devil. I'm going to kick you out of here. Amen. No. Amen. Well, not you, not me. We're different. We love God. We're called and we're chosen. And we're going to preach this gospel. We're going to get this gospel preached. We're going to support ministries that are preaching the gospel and partner with people that are preaching. And we're going to love people. We're not judging people. We're telling people like this church and churches like this are like Noah's Ark. Come into the ark before it rains. Come in. There's room. This is not an animals only ark anymore. That's why we're called Redeemed Church, because redeemed means rescue. Rescue. We're on a rescue mission. We're like the Coast Guard. We're looking for people to help, to give them some hope, to give them some light. Amen? Like I heard Jesse say with some homosexual issue. He's like, you know what? I just want you to go to heaven. I'm not here to argue with you about that. I just want you to make heaven. Amen. It needs to be that simple, because it really is. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the free life, and then Deuteronomy 28, if you have that in your Bible there, Deuteronomy 28 is a good picture of the curse versus the blessing. Now, how many of you just by those two words would rather have the blessing in your life, right, than the curse, right? Well, verse 2 says it this way. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen? I remember Pastor Huck years ago teaching about the blessing of God overtaking you, like the Indiana Jones movie when the big rock is chasing him and he's, ah! Amen. The blessing of God will overtake you. Somebody say, the blessing is overtaking me. I'm getting better, not worse. I'm getting healthier, not sicker. I'm getting richer, not poorer. I'm getting happier, not sadder. Amen? But you have to believe it. You have to take it. You have to act on it. Just because it belongs to you doesn't mean you're taking it. Right? Like the guy that inherited an estate, but no one ever told him. Or maybe he knew, but he just didn't feel worthy of it. So he kept living in his shack and died that way. You can. And you'll go to heaven and hallelujah. But you don't have to. Somebody say, I don't have to. No matter what anybody says, I can press into this blessing that belongs to me. And I refuse to accept anything less than God's best for my life. Right? And some would look at a scripture like this and say, yeah, but I haven't obeyed the voice of the Lord my God. Well, guess who did? Has anyone in here obeyed the voice of God to the fullest degree? In the Old Covenant here, it talks about 600 and something different commandments. We all know the Ten Commandments, but there's like some 600 different commandments that people wore themselves out with trying to keep, or they just quit on it altogether. Because why even try? That's where a lot of the world is today. Why even try? I'm never going to measure up. Well, that's religion. We need to understand this. Somebody say this. Very simple. Jesus did it all on my behalf. So your faith in him is what qualifies you, right, for the fullness of the blessing of God in your life. Now, yeah, we all need to be obeying the voice of God and doing what the word says and all these kind of things. But guess what? When I miss it, I come to him and I get back on it. Right? I repent when I have to repent, and I apply the blood of Jesus, and I ask the Lord for wisdom on what to do about that situation or circumstance, and I don't do it again. Amen. We move on. Somebody say, I move on. I come to Jesus with it. That's what qualifies you for the blessing. Now look at some of these. Well, the word overtake there, I put a definition. It means to reach. It means ability to be able to attain, can get. See, a lot of people think the things of God are just out of reach. No, not for you. For Joe Sinner it is, but not because you're so much better than him or her, Josephine Sinner. The only difference is you've made Jesus Lord of your life. So therefore, all the blessings of God are now in your reach, in your grasp, in your possession. They belong to you, right? It means to remove, to wax rich. The rich word is in there. Somebody say, I'm rich. I'm rich in God. Oh, I don't want that, Pastor Steve. Well, then don't have it. Don't have it then. God's not going to force it on you. But if the word is in there and it's part of the blessing, just believe it. Just say hallelujah and thank him for all the places that's already manifesting in your life. Amen. I mean, so many people criticize ministries that have jets because they travel places and God has given them airplanes for their ministries, you know. Well, why do you have more than one jet? Well, why do you have more than one can of soup? Right? Why do you have more than one pair of shoes, you selfish thing? Well, because God loves me. Somebody say, because God loves me. Right? And God put a vision in that minister's heart to have a jet or multiple jets because they travel in the nation. They go overseas. They go places that Delta doesn't go. Amen. There's reasons for that. Right? Amen. So we just celebrate it. Praise God. So into that. We're getting the gospel preached around the world, man. Don't be muzzling the ox that treads the grain, right? Just celebrate whatever God's doing. Well, why does that church need such a big building? Right? Don't get into all that. Well, why does that ministry have such a big piece of property? Don't go there or you won't. Why is that pastor driving a Benz? Well, don't go there or you won't. Why does that pastor look like their marriage is so blessed and happy? Don't go there or yours won't be. You see what I'm saying? You rejoice with those who are ahead of you out there in the blessing. Amen? Praise the Lord. It means take hold of, again, overtake. Take hold of, on, or upon. So you have to take hold of these things. Take hold of the blessing of God for your life. But the same thing it says about the blessing, it also says about the curse, right? For those people that reject Jesus, for those people that reject the plan of salvation, then the curse is theirs. Not because God is cursing them, but because they're under the curse that's on the world, right? Amen? And you can read a couple of them here in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 3, it says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Somebody say, I'm blessed in the city. And I'm blessed in the country. Now the Holy Ghost might take that and say, there you go, there you go. I got a house in town and I got a house somewhere nice. So get out of town. Amen. I remember when we had our motorhome And I was praying about our house and stuff. And the Lord said, see here, Steve, you've got a house in the city. You've got a house at the beach. You've got a house in the country. Because wherever you go, that motorhome takes you. Well, I had motorhome faith back then, right? Praise the Lord. But we don't want to limit God with our unbelief, right? We press into the blessing. Verse 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That's why a lot of the Jewish folks hang the mezuzah by their door, and they touch it and kiss it or whatever. They're saying, I'm blessed when I come in, and I'm blessed when I go out. Well, Jesus is at your house. So you say, Lord, we're going out. Lord, we're coming in. I'm blessed when I go out. I pray over my service vehicle when I leave the house. And when I come home after a busy day of traveling and, you know, you're just moving, I'll say, Lord, thank you for taking me out safe and bringing me back safe and blessed and prosperous. Amen? This is part of the blessing of God. But see, a lot of times we don't even recognize it because we've gotten so used to it. Amen? The blessing is already in operation on your life. Amen. I know, for example, our church is not just a little community church. Most of you travel 10 miles or more to come to church. You don't just walk down the street. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. Some of you are up towards Seattle and you're here today. Amen. Praise God, right? So this meeting space today is a blessing of God. They're bringing us coffee. I mean, all this, it's like, wow. Carpet is nice. Nice padded chairs. You know, the lights are working. It doesn't stink. I mean, all the tables that are covered and kids that are playing and that handsome guy in the back there. Somebody say, we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. And we're only going to get blesseder. Guess what? The world is only going to get worse. And you're only going to get better. And the separation is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But they could change if they would just make a choice. And many will. Because the difference is going to become bigger and more clear and more clear and more clear. Amen? Why? Because you are departing. Your departure is at hand. And there's room in the ark. Somebody say there's room in the ark. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the blessing of God, the freedom, which is the freedom that we're talking about, Jesus sets you free from the curse. This is why church anywhere, somebody say anywhere. Anywhere the curse is trying to touch your life. I remember seeing Lion King, the new one that's out, and he's set up on the rock with his little, what's the little baby's name? Simba. And he says, son, anywhere the light touches is ours. Oh, hallelujah. Anywhere the word touches. Anywhere your feet go. Anything you're believing God for, you see it in the word, is yours. Right? Anything that steals, kills, or destroys is the curse. And the devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. That's if you look at his refrigerator, his little to-do list, it's very simple. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what he does every day. Somebody say every day. Him and his angels. And he's got people working for him. Right? So anywhere you see, you hear cancer. Anywhere you hear death. Anywhere you hear poverty. Anywhere you hear perversions or whatever. That's the curse trying to come in. So you don't get all upset when that curse tries to come into your family. I was praying, you know, over the armor of God the other day, and I had this picture when I got to the shield of faith part. Of that shield of faith doesn't just protect my little body. No. That shield of faith expands. It can cover a city. It can cover a city. It can cover a business. It can cover your family. Even if they're in other states or other parts of the world, or spiritually they're goofy right now, you just pull that shield of faith up and say, no, devil, this shield of faith is going to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. That shield of faith grows. and expands. And as you pray and intercede and speak the word, stuff's happening. Somebody say, stuff's happening. The devil wants to discourage you and tell you nothing's happening. Why are you wasting your time? He's a liar. That's the other thing on his list, maybe, right? Steal, kill, destroy, lie. Repeat. Go back to A. Steal, kill, destroy, lie. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what the curse does. So you can recognize in pest control, you know, we have little things to show us what a pest is and what it is and how to identify it. Here's how you identify the blessing. The blessing brings life, brings the blessing of God, brings people closer to Jesus, life and life more abundantly. The curse comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In a nutshell, if it's bad, it's the curse. If it's good, it's of the Lord. But even in our day and age, they try to blend those two together like there's some gray area. Oh, no. No, there's not. Well, it's still marriage. It's just man and man, woman. No, no, no. That's part of the curse. Well, you racist. No, no, no. I'm not being a racist. I'm not talking about skin color here. I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking about the blessing of God. You can have a certificate signed by a judge that says you're legally married, and you're not. There's no blessing of God on that. Amen? So we choose the blessing. We choose God. And we press into that blessing in every area of our lives. Right? You don't quit. There's no quit on the blessed crew. Right? Again, watching the A-team, right? You're on God's A-team. He doesn't have a B-team. You're on the A-team. You're in the in-crowd. You're sons and daughters of the King. Hallelujah. Well, let's close up here with this final verse. 1 Corinthians 1:18, and this kind of sums it up today. In the complete Jewish Bible, it says it this way. For the message about the execution stake, which is the cross, right, is nonsense to those in the process of being destroyed. Now that's a good description of the curse. The people that are living under the curse of this world are in the process of being destroyed. No matter how happy they look, no matter how much they celebrate it, they're in the process of dying. It's like the Titanic, right? Remember the story? When they know it's going down. But hey, bring the music out, set the chair, play music, let's all this act like everything. No, you're dying. The thing's sinking, okay? Right? So the cross is foolishness, nonsense, to those in the process of being destroyed, but to us, somebody say, but to us, in the process of being saved, it is the power of God. Now, that's what this is about. This is about the power of God. The redeemed life is the power of God active in your life, separating you from the curse supernaturally. Amen? You and your family. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I am in the process of being saved. Now, you are saved, yeah, spiritually. My spirit man is saved, but my soul and my flesh are following my spirit. My soul, my mind, the soul, you know, is your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body, right? That's the difference, too, between those who are under the curse of sin is they follow what their body and mind and soul lead them to do, but not us. If you are born again, you are spirit-led. Right? Amen? Glory to God. Let's all stand up on our feet and thank the Lord for this word today. Hallelujah. Pray this after me. Say, Father God, I thank you for the free life that Jesus provides for me. I receive the fullness of the blessing of God. I rebuke the curse from every area of my life, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, I rebuke the curse and I release and receive the blessing of God today in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I'm free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You are dismissed. And the coffee is on. Amen. And so is the blessing.